We've got just a few more notes to compare with Samantha Brown right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Then, we'll check in with listeners at 877-333-7425 to find out where you're planning to go this year to fit in like one of the locals instead of being just another tourist. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're sharing notes with Samantha Brown. And Sam, how many days a year are you on the road when you're working at your peak on this?
On the peak, I was about 230.
230 days a year.
230 days. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Now I understand you've got a new part of your life you're embarking on. You're pregnant.
I am.
That's exciting.
I'm pregnant with twins
with
as
twins.
Well.
With twins. And I noticed on your website you're actually letting people suggest names. Have you heard any names suggested that you might consider in the short list?
I thought people came up with really great names. And of course, they were very geographical and, Ireland from Dublin, you can name your kids anything these days.
Yeah.
And it was a great exercise. It really opened my mind to, okay, we could go there. Although it might be a little cheesy for someone in the travel business to name their child Madrid and Barcelona,
You got twins. Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Nina and Pinta. Then you could wait for Santa Maria.
Two ships. That's right.
two ships.
I tell you, I feel like a ship right now.
Well,
I have a full cargo.
That is very exciting. Is this when you have the kids? What are you going to do with your TV hosting and so on?
Well, I certainly would love to continue. I do not want this to. I'm sure it will slow me down in travel. I mean, I was on my own, and I've got two kids, and that's going to change a schedule a bit, but I certainly want them to travel with me, and I will take all the advice I can get, Rick. I know you probably have traveled with, do you have one daughter?
I have two kids, and they're in their 20s now, and we took them to Europe every year throughout their whole life. Boy, if you can do that, it makes them comfortable with the rest of the planet, and I just think it's one of the most beautiful things you can do. In fact, we took our kids out of school every May for 4 or 5 years of their schooling, and the teachers, supported that, and mm-hmm. we felt it was really stimulating for the kids and got them out of their comfort zone, and it really was an exciting kind of parenting. And maybe we'll look for a Samantha Brown and twins on the road
exactly.
coming up.
Yes, yes.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Samantha Brown, about to embark on a whole new kind of adventure. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Margo's on the line in Redmond, Oregon. Margo, thanks for your call.
Well, thanks, Rick. I really love your programs. And I also have loved Sam's programs for many years. And you've already answered one of my questions, which was whether Samantha is going to continue with her programs once her twins are born. But my question now goes back a bit. You were talking about traveling and meeting wonderful people and being a single woman and so forth. Just out of curiosity, did you happen to meet your partner during your travels?
I did not. I met him here in New York City, and he was just friend of a friend, so...
Well, that's great. I also had to let you know, you're talking about how exhausted you get in the late afternoon. Part of your programs, which I used to love, perhaps it was Great Hotels, was when you'd go back to your wonderful rooms, flop on the bed, and then perhaps an hour and a half later arrive downstairs for cocktails.
It was a good
that
life.
That must have been refreshing. Yeah, but I think you always managed to charm everybody, men, women, and so forth. And it's great to hear you're talking about this and also, Rick, how much work goes into being spontaneous and charming and informative. So I thank you both for those experiences.
You're welcome. Thanks, Margo. Thanks for your
thank
call.
You.
I got to say, Sam, I really enjoy connecting with you at travel shows and so on because we can empathize with how sometimes you're so determined to get across the fun of a moment or a travel experience. Mm-hmm. But when you have a camera there and you just don't have the complete control, it can be frustrating. And then you got to recreate the fun, and it's just hard to make it as magic as it really is. And I hope that our viewers can understand that if it looks like fun, it's actually even better.
I like that.
So, hey, Samantha, I'd like to just finish by asking you, if you could produce your own show once you get settled mm-hmm. with the twins and everything and be in complete control of it, what would the show be and what would you name it?
I have an idea that I want to do so badly. I think with the twins, it has to wait maybe a year or so. But I want to do a show where I go on vacation with large groups of people, whether they are the red hat ladies who wear the purple and the red hat ladies, to Harley Davidson drivers, to big family reunions. And I want to travel with them and do what they do and just spend time with them. And this is all based on a great New York Times article where the reporter embedded with the Amish, and they go down to Florida every year, the Amish, and they put away their hats and they take out their cell phones and the girls wear bikinis. And all of a sudden, for 1 week, they're not Amish. They're not farmers. They're vacationers. And I found that fascinating. I had no idea. And I would love to discover how people vacation. You know, I could follow groups of the Chinese and the Brazilians coming to New York for the first time. What do they do? Because we get so many impressions from how we spend our time leisurely. And I love being with people. So it would, you know, two birds with one stone. I'd be able to travel and I'd be able to meet people and understand them more.
And you'd be the perfect host. I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
I'm going to tune in. Samantha Brown, best wishes with your twins. Best wishes for your future travels. And thanks for all the travel fun you've brought so many of us.
Thank you, Rick.
Samantha Brown's latest TV special is called Trip of a Lifetime, and it premieres Wednesday, January 30th, on the Travel Channel. Now, let's check in with a couple of our listeners who wrote us at radio@ricksteves.com to find out what kind of fun they're looking forward to in their travels this year. Randy in San Jose, California, thanks for calling.
Hi, Rick. I wanted to ask you about soccer in England. Have you ever gone to a match? Would you recommend it? I've been to a couple, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were about that.
You know, I've been to soccer matches on the continent in Italy, and I know that they're very popular all over Europe. And I've been to hurling matches in Ireland. Every time I go to a stadium in Europe filled with sports fans, especially if it's a game I don't normally go to otherwise, it's always a fun experience. What was your experience like in England?
I went to Old Trafford in Manchester. It was just fabulous. I would highly recommend it to anybody. Everybody said, well, it's going to be violent. There's a lot of drunks there. It wasn't any more drunks than you would see at a typical NFL game. And I'm planning this year coming up to go to London to see a series of matches as well. And I would really, really strongly recommend it. I don't know how a person could go to Europe and not get caught up in the soccer, the soccer mania that exists there.
It is very spirited, isn't it? They say it's a very good outlet for people who don't have wars to vent. They can just go to the stadiums and get all excited about this. I mean, to be packed with 50,000 people in a stadium singing ole, 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 ole.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they. I went to see a match at the San Siro in Milan. And it was just crazy with the people that would come in with they have the flags with their team on it. They come in with road flares. I mean, they're just absolutely crazy. But they're very, you know, they're very respectful, too. They're not, you know, just, you know, screaming obscenities. They're just very, very passionate for their team.
So you didn't find the hooliganism was a physical danger to the tourist that would venture into that scene?
No, no. In fact, when I went to Manchester, there was an English fellow there and his wife, and I understand soccer, but, you know, I still don't understand all the rules. And he would say, oh, yeah, you know, this is an offside rule, and he would tell me, you know, about different players and how things worked, and it was just great. And when I went to London, I didn't get a chance to go, but they have these things there. They call them the West London Derby. Americans, we call it a derby, like the Kentucky Derby, and that's how it's spelled there, but they pronounce it Derby.
Right.
And I didn't realize that in West London, there's probably four or five teams. You have Chelsea, Fulham, West Ham United, Tottenham, and one called Leyton Orient that are all within about 3 or 4 miles of each other. Hmm. Now, for a soccer fan, I mean, if I lived there, I would just be at the stadium all day long.
It's like Chicago has the White Sox and the Cubs.
Absolutely.
These big cities have their teams, and sometimes there's more than one teams, and people all their lives are with this team or that team. And I've found every time I've gone to a stadium, Randy, that outside there's these little stands where you can buy the scarves and the flags and the hats, and you should choose which team you want to support and buy that color, and then remember who you're rooting for, because if you're wearing the wrong color and choosing for the wrong team, it might be embarrassing.
Yeah, when I went to Manchester, they talked about that because there's two teams. You have Manchester United and you have Manchester City. And they would talk about the blue side of town versus the red side of town.
Yeah.
And they would say, don't go in that side of the town wearing your Manchester United jersey, or you're going to invite problems for yourself. Right. I want to echo what you say about the scarves, because I have the soccer package, and I get up on Saturday morning, watch the matches from London and from Rome and from Barcelona, and it's really neat that you'll see them, all the fans. A lot of them wear the jerseys, but their thing is the scarf.
They're affordable and they're easy to travel with, and it's just a great memory. And then when you're in the stadium, you feel like you're caught up in the energy because you've got the scarf with the correct colors on it. And you're with 50,000 local people, and I swear there's not a tourist in the whole crowd. It's just purely a local event, and that in itself is quite a thrill for a traveler.
Oh, they have, you know, one of the things on your shows that you talk about, is, and especially for England, is the pub culture. And most of them will have some pubs around there, and they'll tell you, oh, this is a good one to meet people. I've never had any problems at any of them. Most of the time, most people buy you a drink. They'll ask you about America. They'll make comments about American soccer and our lack of success in it.
And then it also gives you an excuse to talk to people and connect with people as you're traveling.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to go back, and I'm counting the days.
You know, it's fun to go to a sporting event in a stadium where you can understand the language, and then you can hear the taunting cheers and so on. I remember I was in a stadium and some player got injured, and they were chanting, he'll be back in the B League, like he'll never be back in the majors again.
One thing that's really very moving is the stadium in Liverpool, which is called Anfield. And they have a song, an old song by Jerry and the Pacemakers called You'll Never Walk Alone. And before each of the games, they start and they sing this song, and it's like 80,000 people that are singing this song. It's very, very moving.
Wow.
It'll bring you to tears. The actor Samuel Jackson was there when I was there, and I remember reading an interview with him that he almost started crying, that he, you know, hear all these voices in unison sing that song.
Randy, when you're traveling, you can just find locally when there's a game, and it's probably most weekends there's a game. And what does a ticket usually cost you?
It depends on where you want to sit. The big teams like Chelsea and Arsenal and Tottenham, you'll probably pay for a 40 to 50-yard line seat, you'll probably pay 60 to 70 euros. But if you're not real particular where you sit, and some of them will have a family section, if you know, if you bring your kids with you, you can go for 15, 25 euros.
That'd be like $20 or $25. That is a very, very good value, well worth your time and your money, and you'll come home with a memory for the rest of your life.
One thing that also, you know, Europe, some of the smaller towns in England, I've been to some, they have what's it called, League One, which is probably equivalent to like a double-A baseball here in the United States. And they'll have a small town that will have probably 2,300, 2,400 seat stadium, and they'll have sometimes the big clubs will come through, like Manchester United, which you know is a huge team, came to a small town and played a team called Aldershot. But, I mean, this is like the Yankees coming, you know, to play a, you know, single-A baseball team. And you can sometimes find tickets for these small things for 5 to 10 euros a ticket. And the fans are just as hungry. They love their team just as much. And it's just really, really amazing.
Randy, that's a great insight. Thank you so much. Those are great tips.
Thanks, Rick.
And Chad's on the line in Portland, Oregon. Chad, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. For the last several years, I've been contributing designs for the Carnival de Nice in Nice, France. I'm not sure how many listeners are aware of the Carnival, but for the last several years, they've opened up the contest to cartoonists to design floats for a large satirical parade they hold every year in February. So I've been doing that for several years, and we've been vacationing there. I think we've been there about four times for the carnival, and it's just an incredible experience.
Now, is the carnival sort of like the French version of Mardi Gras or something like that, or how would you describe the carnival?
Yeah, exactly. It is the French version of Mardi Gras. I think it is one of the first carnivals in Europe, and, you know, it's from the Catholic tradition where they were celebrating before fasting for Lent, and so it's directly related to the New Orleans Mardi Gras in that sense.
Okay, so basically, to put it in historic perspective, every year people knew they had to be really good and give up all sorts of decadence and hedonism during Lent. What is that, the 40 days or something leading up to Easter? So they have this blowout before that, Mardi Gras or Carnival.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
I'm not Catholic, but this is what I understand from
it's a party. Anybody's welcome. Okay, so there's Carnival celebrations all over Europe. You go to Nice every year, and what do you design?
It's kind of a little complicated. They've had this carnival celebration, I think, since the 1870s with large float processions, of which there's around 20 large floats, and they're huge. I think they get up to about 40 feet high, some of them. And since, I think, 2003, they've opened up the contest to cartoonists around the world, and I found out about it in 2005. So we've been there four times for the carnival, and
wow.
And it's It's great, yeah. So they create a float from your drawing, and they have this huge warehouse. It kind of looks like maybe a small Boeing, Seattle airline manufacturer, but instead of planes, they're just giant floats. And I think they spent about 5 months creating them from different designs.
Wow. And then you're there for the actual parade?
Yeah, we've gone about four times. I think I won six times, and we've been there for four parades. So
wow. And what's the parade like?
It's a total blast. There's three different processions. There's a nighttime procession where they put lights on the floats and they have a different type of, I guess, luminosity. And there's a daytime parade, which is kind of similar with the same floats. And accompanying both those, there's acrobats, entertainers, music, all kinds of things. There's a giant dragon that breathes smoke and grabs people in its mouth and lifts them up. There's acrobats from around the world. And then there's also a flower parade where they have a lot of the flora from around the area because they're famous for their flowers around Nice, and that's a separate parade as well.
Is it a drunken brawl with girls pulling up their shirts like in New Orleans?
That's what we kind of expected to see, but it's actually kind of the opposite. They're very well-behaved and reserved in the stands by American standards, but the interesting thing is the floats can be very satirical, even slightly making sexual jokes or
it's jokes a little more subtle in good French style, I suppose.
Yes, yes, I guess a little bit more sophisticated in the, in the way they dress and behave, but they still have fun.
That's great. Now Nice has had a sort of a big city renovation going on in the last few years where they tore up the city and building this wonderful tram system. Were you there before and after that?
Yeah. I think the first year we were there, they were building it, and they showed us some archaeological site that they had to work around. They discovered while they were digging for the tram, I think from the 10th century or around that time period.
God, that must be frustrating. You want to dig a track for a tram, and you find something 1,000 years old, and you got to kind of talk to the museum people.
Right.
To be building in a city in Europe. Well, what an exciting sort of theme you have to go back to Nice every year. And I'll tell you, all along the Côte d'Azur, the French Riviera, I think Nice is the one real cultural powerhouse. It's a city that would be there with or without tourism. And it's just got a beautiful, powerful culture, a love of art, and a particularly, I think, sophisticated way to enjoy the good life.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It seems like it's a city where real people live in addition to also being fancy and nice, as a lot of other towns seem to be, you know, around that area seem to be kind of like wealthy enclaves.
Now, it sounds like you're an artist, and Nice has more than its share of art galleries. What's your take on the best sort of sightseeing for an art lover in Nice?
Oh, wow. Well, I guess first, just walking the streets in the old town. I mean, the way that everybody lives their lives in the shop windows and the buildings is just very artistic in itself. So that would be my first recommendation. But there's wonderful art museums. There's I think it's the Museum Messina. They used to have old float designs as well for the carnival, but a lot of painters from Nice. And then there's also the Matisse Museum and the Museum of Contemporary Art and pretty much every museum there. I think there's a huge one in St. Paul de Vence as well.
Yeah, that's a very sort of abstract art gallery in St. Vence. But what about the Chagall House of Art?
I haven't been to the Chagall one. It was actually closed for renovation when we were there.
It is one of my favorite art museums anywhere in Europe. It was designed by Marc Chagall, and it just shows off his sort of quintessential lively masterpieces in a space designed and lit by the artist himself. You got to see that next time you're in Nice.
Oh, wow. That's great. Definitely.
All right, Chad. Well, let's all think about Carnival in Europe next time. Thanks a lot for your call.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay, happy travels.
Okay, bye.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington, by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick. Thanks to the Radio Foundation in New York City and Radio Netherlands in Hilversum for their help today. You can chat with Rick and his guests. Simply add your email address to the Radio Waves link on our website, and we'll notify you of our next recording sessions and topics. That's in the radio section of ricksteves.com. And we'll look for you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.